Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Obviously, Pastor needs to get back here pretty quick. Who knows who's going to be announced to speak next week if he's not. Okay. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews 10. So I teach a class here called Relationships in Ministry. And it's how to get along with people in ministry. And we have all kinds of different sessions, all kinds of lectures. And the little jewel I give, it's not my last one. It's like the second to last one I give is the one I'm going to preach on tonight. And I tell them this in the class. I said, hey, listen, when you're on a mission field or you're in a church and you have tried everything and you have tried to build a relationship with, they're just not your spiritual gift. There's just a conflict. You just haven't been on the same page or whatever. I said, I'm going to give you a lecture today, students, that will absolutely work. It always has. It always will. And I said, you know what you do? If you're struggling with your team or there's somebody in the church that just, you just say, you know what? I know I love them in Christ, but man, I just don't like being around them. It's just difficult. I said, you know what you do? You practice biblical hospitality. There is something about having people over at your home. Because no matter what has occurred and no matter what's happened, when you've opened your home to them and they come in, I guarantee you it will. And I did that as a pastor. There were some people in the church that were just they were just on the edge and they were a little edgy and it was just difficult. And you know, Marilee and I would have them over. And you know, Marilee's gift in some areas different than me. And I would say, hey, let's have this family over. And Marilee would say, why? Jim, they are going out of the church. They are not going to be in the church much longer. And I said, well, I think we just ought to have them over. I think, and you know what? Sometimes we want them over and sometimes they left. But I blame that on Marilee didn't have the right food that night. But no, that wasn't the case at all. But, you know, when you have someone over at your home, there's just something that it does in breaking down walls. I want to share something. Definitely, Pastor didn't ask me to speak on this. He obviously is probably one of the greatest examples of hospitality you will ever meet. And I praise the Lord for our pastor in that area. But I really want to tell you this. We need to get hospitality beyond the church staff here. And we need to practice it as a part of all of our lives. And it is biblical. And you say, Brother Shelby, do you have any idea the time that you're preaching on biblical hospitality, having people over to your home? Do you understand what's happening in our country? Yeah, I do. And I do not want to be comical or light about that at all. But I will tell you, we need to start trusting God for the scriptures and begin to apply the Bible in our lives. We need to be safe, we need to be right. But I have to tell you, and as I go around and I talk to pastors all over America, you know, they said, you know what, you know, we did well on live stream, our giving stayed and everything like that, but they said, you know, there's just something about the body of Christ coming together. Live stream will never be a substitute for the New Testament local church. It will never happen. It can't happen that way. Now, we have a unique situation here because we're a large church. This is probably the largest church that I preach in. There would be a couple that would be about this size that I preached in the last year or two. But this is probably one of the largest churches. And a large church, we do so well with breaking the large down into small. And that's very, very important. But now all of us need to carry it a little further. And I want to give you a great biblical basis to this. I truly believe this is one of the great virtues of the New Testament church that can work. Now, I know that college is out. I don't know if we have very many college students here in here tonight, but I want to tell you something. I can remember practicing biblical hospitality as a floor leader, a dorm supervisor. And I struggled with some guys on the hall that I was just struggling with. And I remember bringing them on down and we would have pizza. Or bring in, you know what, I want room, you know, 205 to come on down, and I want room 207 to come on down. And you know what, it was really interesting. Even in a dorm situation, when we would show some hospitality in our room and have some college students come in the room and we just do a little something, have a little light thing to eat, and then just kind of talk about some things, it's amazing how their attitudes changed. I mean, so I can tell you, I've been practicing biblical hospitality since I was a college student. And I want to also say this. This is not the home I came from at all. Of course, my mom and dad got a divorce when I was 14. And I will tell you, my dad never wanted people over to the house. Now, I had friends in the backyard and stuff like that, but we never. Now, we weren't saved family, and you know, we didn't go to a Baptist church or anything like that, but I will tell you, we never had people over in our home. And to me, it's just, now my boys would, they would say that's been very different, and we have loved that. I will tell you, we sold our house here, and one of the biggest things, even at Joshua camps, we always had all the juniors and seniors over to our house at the end of Joshua camps, and I missed that this year. We felt that our swimming pool was God's swimming pool, and every, you know, every way that we could use it in every way. And I think there's something about loving strangers in your home, and there is a biblical basis to it. And I want to give, now there's going to be some specific verses we're going to look up that mention hospitality, but this would be what I would consider to be the foundation biblically to what I'm going to share tonight. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and look at beginning of verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So that's a big command there. For he is faithful that promised. Now look, I don't think we've changed anything here. I don't think we got a new chapter going here. I think it adds on to what he just commanded you to do, to hold fast to your profession of faith. You're going to need help to do that. Listen to verse 24. And let us consider, really study out, investigate, see the needs of other people around us. Let us consider one another to provoke. Now, many times when we see the word provoke, we look at it as in a negative way, but it is not. This is to come along and to prod in a good sense, to encourage. And let us consider one another to encourage, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I do understand we've heard this verse a lot in the last year and a half, and we've needed to, because this is the biblical mandate. This is why we said, hey, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll be protective, we'll be healthy, we'll do with all these other procedures, but we are not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And here's why. As the manner of some is, but exhorting, building up, lifting up one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I don't think there's any question. We're seeing the day approaching. And the more we see the day approaching, the more we cannot forsake our assembly one with another. And I want to share something with you tonight. I want to give you the 10 commandments. So if you do write notes, you're going to be writing a lot tonight. But just maybe just sit and listen and allow the Lord to speak to your heart. But I'd like to give you the 10 commandments of biblical hospitality that I think will really encourage you. Merrily in our ministry changed when we started to practice some of these, and just our influence on other people. And you know, it's one thing. You know, we've had, you know, I can teach college classes and everything like that. By the way, the first thing I did when I got into the guest house, I'd never been in the guest house before. We're going to be living in the guest house for 8 weeks this fall as Marilee and I come back to teach at college. And the first thing I, and you can ask Marilee, first thing I said, Marilee, the backyard's not bad. We can have a lot of college students over at the backyard. I think we can even get some people inside the house. And when, first thing I said to her, as soon as I got in the, I didn't say anything about anything else about the guest house. First thing I said is, we can entertain here. We can have hospitality here. Because I think it's so important to develop those relationships in that setting. By the way, the generation that we live right now in, they are very much in this kind of setting, and they want to discuss things, they want to collaborate, they want to be able to share things, and biblical hospitality gives us a venue to do that in. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look up a couple other verses, and I want to just give you a few things about what hospitality is, and then very quickly go through the Ten Commandments of biblical hospitality. Father, I know this is not a normal lesson. It kind of reminds me of a kind of a pastor's chat that he gives, but Lord, there is a biblical basis to this message. And I pray, Lord, if we're gonna be to the whole counsel of God, then tonight we're gonna learn about biblical hospitality. We're gonna learn about it in a time in our country that it's not politically correct, but it is a biblical mandate. And I think it's something also that, Lord, I don't know what the future of the church is in America. We don't know exactly. We know the church will never be destroyed. We understand that. But in the way that we meet, where we meet, how we meet, when we meet, a lot of things could change in the days, years ahead. And Father, I believe that biblical hospitality needs to constantly be practiced. Father, these people have been given homes, apartments. They ought to thank God for where they dwell. And I pray, Father, they would look at their dwelling as a gift from you. I pray they'd be good stewards of it, but then also use that dwelling for the cause of Christ. And this may be a stretching area for some people. It doesn't fit their personalities. It doesn't fit their spiritual gifts. But Lord, I think it's still a biblical command. And so, Lord, I do ask and pray that the church staff here would not be the only ones that practice biblical hospitality, that all of us as a church would see the benefits of that. And then, Lord, I think the truths that we give them in these commandments, I pray that they will be a real help. I'm sure there's a lot of wives right now that are even breathing heavy. They're just like, oh, I can't do this. We just don't have fine china, and we can't just keep cleaning the house, and we can't do this. We got kids running around, and this isn't for us. Well, Father, I pray that what they hear tonight, they would be able to take a step of faith and see it maybe not as the mountain that they thought it was. And so, Lord, we do ask and pray. I thank you for our pastor. We pray for him. I count it an honor to be behind his pulpit tonight. And, Lord, I believe this is a message that our pastor believes very strongly. So I pray that this would be an encouragement to his flock. And I pray, Lord, that all of us, whoever we are, would see that we could apply this, whether it is in the dorms or wherever we live, that we could be, that we would love strangers. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. And God's people said, hospitality is a present participle. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, it says this, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Romans 12, 13. The words given to hospitality is a participle of continual action. So it is not something tonight that, okay, we'll do this one time. We'll let some people come over to our house and we'll never do it again. And we can say we did our hospitality thing. That's not what this is. It is a participle of continual action. And that's important to note. Number two, hospitality is a present help of love for strangers. A present help and love for strangers. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, there is a group of sheep that are being divided from the goats for all of eternity. And in the course of that, Jesus addresses these sheep, and he says, when I was weak, you were there for me. When I was in this situation, you were there for me. And they say, where were you? We didn't see you in all that. And Jesus says to them, when you did this for the least of them, you were actually doing it for me. And biblical hospitality, in the end, is the same reason why we do everything else in the Christian life. We do it for the glory of God. We do it to be an encouragement to our God and our Savior, and not just for the people that we have over at our house. It's a present participle. It's a help and love for strangers. It is a joy, not a grief. Listen to this verse in 1 Peter, because I think Peter understood people. And he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality. And I like that. Use hospitality. Hospitality is a tool of building relationships, edification, and even evangelism. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. For 12 years, on Thursday nights, we had a singles Bible study at my home when I pastored in Florida. And every Thursday night, a group of singles would come. We never had less than 40, and I don't believe we ever had more than 85. But almost every Thursday night, between 50 and 70 singles all over the Pensacola area would come to our house, and we would study Proverbs every Thursday night. And I'm going to tell you something. Those singles said the highlight of our week is coming over to Pastor's house to be able to open the Word and study. We live for the Proverbs Bible study on Thursday night. And I said, why? I mean, what's so? I never studied for it. We would just pick up from where we went before, and we'd just start going verse by verse. And I would say, are any questions, any comments, any illustrations? If not, we go to the next verse. And we did that for 12 years on Thursday nights. And they absolutely loved it. And they said, you know why? Because, Pastor, we were in your house. And we just thought that was the greatest and the coolest thing in the world. And I travel all across America, and I meet people. They said, you know, we used to come to your house on Thursday nights. I'm married now, I got 5 kids, but whatever. But we used to come to your house in the singles Bible study. And there's something about opening up your home and not with grief. Now, my family, that was tough on them, because we closed off a section of the house every Thursday night. I mean, I had boys growing up, they had to do homework. I had Marilee, she had to do laundry, she had to do whatever. And I would talk to them and I'd say, guys, are you okay with me doing this? And I remember they used to say, Dad, those singles just love that too much. And I remember Ben said, I don't wanna be the one that shuts the thing down. You know, I don't wanna, I said, Dad, you gotta keep doing it. You gotta keep doing it. I'd ask them every year. I said, do you want me to do the singles Bible study? And Marilee said, Jim, it's probably one of the best ministries you got going. And we saw many people saved. We had all kinds of people, and it's just such a, and I said this at the very end, after 12 years, I said, you know what? Our home was such a birthing room. We saw so many young adults get saved in our home. And I just do truly believe that hospitality really can have a great impact on others. So let me give you the 10 commandments to biblical hospitality, and I really got to get going. Number one, thou shalt recognize your home as a gift to use for Christ. Thou shalt recognize your home as a gift to use for Christ. So I had this family one time when I was pastoring, John and Kimberly, and they just bought their first home. And they said, Pastor Scheller, you got to come over and dedicate our home to the Lord. And I said, I'd love to do that. When do you want to do that? They said, what about this Saturday? Could Saturday? And I said, yeah, that'll work good. So I came over to their house. They had 3 small kids. And here they are in their first home. And Marilee had a little plant for them, you know, and stuff like that. And we came over and we had our little time. And I read scripture. Let me tell you what passage of scripture I read. I read the passage of scripture. You know the guy, the paralytic guy that came down through the roof and they tore the roof off the house? That's the passage that I use for the dedication of their home. Now, I'll tell you, that may not mean that much in earthquake place, but in hurricane locations, that's a big passage because most of the roofs get blown off, you know? And I said, hey, let me ask you something. So you're dedicating this house to God tonight.
Are you saying this is God's house, or are you just like, let's have pastor come over and say a little prayer over our new home? Or are you dedicating this house to the Lord? I remember John and Kimberly said, well, we're not really looking forward to our roof being torn off, but you know what? We're giving it to God tonight. Our house is the Lord. So we prayed, dedicated to the Lord. Next morning, Kimberly comes to me, Pastor, I gotta tell you what happened last night. I said, what's that? I said, I really enjoyed being here. She said, Pastor, I'm putting the kids to bed. I'm putting my daughter to bed. I can't remember her name right now. I'm putting my daughter to bed. And she says, Mommy, when are we moving? And Kimberly says, Honey, this is our new house. We're not moving. And she said, well, tonight Pastor gave the house to Jesus. When are we moving? Okay, that girl understood, didn't she? That girl understand, it's not our house anymore. It's the Lord's house. And Kimberly was wise enough to say, well, it is the Lord's house, but he's letting us stay in it. And you know what? That's exactly the way we should look at every place we've got and everything that we have. Commandment number one, look at thou shalt recognize your home as a gift from God. Listen, whatever home you have, you say, well, Brother Shelley, we just have a little trailer. We live in a mobile home, and we would, you know what? That's a gift from God that can be used for the cause of Christ. Number two, thou shalt open your home to strangers, not just friends and family. Oh, Brother Scheller, this hospitality thing, we're like the kings of this. All my relatives come over. We have friends over all the time. That's not what this is about. This is not about friends, and this is not about family. If you have a home that your family members come from LA and they come from all over and they're always at our house, that is not what I'm teaching tonight. I'm talking about hospitality, literally, is a compound Greek word, means phileo, the love of strangers. This is people you don't know. Thou shalt open your home to strangers, not just friends and family. Number three, thou shalt not feel pressure to have the perfect home or meal. Now, the ladies right now could say amen if they would like, but I want to talk about this. Thou shalt not feel pressure to have the perfect home or meal. This is what changed in the Shetler home, because Marilee believed if we were going to have people over, we had to have the finest china, we had to have the best recipes, we had to have the best food, we had to have every room like white glove. Well, I want to tell you right now, if that's our standard for hospitality, it ain't gonna happen in this church. I mean, it's not gonna happen. There's no wife that's gonna say, with everything else I've gotta do, I gotta prepare a meal, I gotta do this, I gotta clean all of our bathrooms, I gotta get every bedroom fixed, I gotta do that. It's not gonna happen. And you know what? Thou shalt not feel pressure to have the perfect home or the perfect meal. You can have biblical hospitality in three rooms, a little bit in the kitchen, family room, and one bathroom. You just lock the bedroom doors, okay? You do not have to have every room clean. And guys, Papa John's and Domino's works for biblical hospitality. We think we've got to have the best meal. We believe so much is our identity tied up to our house, and it's got to be perfect, and it's got to do this, and we got people coming over, and we got to do the yard, and we got to do this, and we... Okay, if you're going to think that way, you're not going to have biblical hospitality. But if you honestly believe that you can have people over at your home and go out and just get something from fast food, and you can bring it back to your house and have someone come over, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to find that you're going to have more people over and that you're going to be able to minister more. Thou shalt not feel pressure to have the perfect home or the perfect meal. And God's people said, yeah. Biblical hospitality isn't how perfect your home is. It's not how great your meal is. And we'll get to what it is in a minute. Number four, thou shalt not expect anything in return. Thou shalt not expect anything in return. You know, we had that family over. I don't even think we got a thank you card. Yeah, we'll join the club on that. Join the club on that. You know, I was kind of hoping that maybe they'd want to do something with us later on. They never have. They never asked. They never said thank you. You know what? You cannot have biblical hospitality at your home if you're going to expect something in return. It is all about giving. It is all about investing. It is all about, it is not what you get in return. Now, I got another one. And I added this one. This isn't in my lecture notes, but I added this one. And brother, this is a good one. Listen to number four. Thou shalt not expect anything in return. Listen to number five, because it's kind of with that one. Thou shalt not have any ulterior motive for having people over your home. Well, we do have this little business on this. No. Well, we do this Tupperware. No. Or listen to this one. You know, there's a few things that pastor's been teaching that maybe we need to have some people over. We just need to discuss. I wonder if they're thinking the same thing. No. Now, I thought about this afternoon. And I praise the Lord we're in a church that this doesn't happen. But I'm going to tell you. Some people are sitting out there right now and they're going, I like this biblical hospitality thing. I could get some more clients, or I could get some more people on my cause in Lancaster Baptist. That's from the pit of hell. And I want to tell you right now, if that's going on in your heart or your mind right now, that is not biblical hospitality whatsoever. There is only one motive why you're having people over your house. You are either there to encourage or edify or to evangelize them. And that is it. There is no ulterior motive in having this little group of people come over to your home. You're not trying to vent some things that you got some problems with. And by the way, if that comes up in one of those meetings, you stop that immediately. I think that's an important one. Thou shalt not have any ulterior motive but edification and evangelism. Number six. Thou shalt take initiative and not wait to be asked. Now, I think this is important because I truly believe that our pastor and the example of our staff do this all the time. But we need to take the initiative for that. We're not on staff here. We're a church member here. And we need to take the initiative to begin to have biblical hospitality. Thou shalt take initiative and not wait to be asked. Number seven, thou shalt talk about spiritual truths at some point. Thou shalt talk about spiritual truths at some point. Now this is the key to the whole thing. By the way, you don't have people come over to watch a movie. You don't have people to come over to watch Olympics. Okay, you can do stuff like that, but that's not biblical hospitality. Biblical hospitality does have a purpose. It doesn't have this ulterior motive for wrong, but it has a purpose. I want to edify. I want to encourage. Okay, so he didn't know what I was going to speak on tonight. I think I told him after the meal was over, but I went out to eat with the Rules today. And we talked about their incredible vacation in Costa Rica. And I'm going to have the kids come up now and give testimony. No, I'm just teasing. I got to tell you what, though, that was an incredible vacation. And I was kind of ready to get going. And we had a great time. We had a great talk. And I'm kind of ready to go home and take a little nap back in the guest house. And Brother Rule says, hey, Brother Shala, before you go, would you be willing to give some family where our kids are getting in their teen years? And I won't say it just the way he said it, but I thought that was so cool. He said, give us some biblical principles where we are with our kids right now. Right in front of the kids. Let's just talk about some things. Well, I thought that was fabulous, Brother Rule. I thought that was fabulous. Brother Rule was saying, hey, there's another reason for this meal. Boy, by the way, you know what we ate today, don't you? Italian. We went to Gino's today. That was good. So I'm going to preach tonight. No. Yeah, someone better ask me over to the house tonight. Amen. Yeah. No. I'm leaving on a red eye. But anyways, but I thought that was so wise. Before we left Gino's, we're going to talk about biblical things, and we're going to talk about some things, and we've got a reason for this. I mean, Brother Shelley, it was great having you for a meal, and it was great talking about our vacation, but I got some other things I want to talk about. Now, I want you to know this. this is so wise. You get some people over, you have some talk, you have a little bit of fun, maybe you do play a game, but you know what? You end that with some prayer. You end that with, hey, let me read some, hey, what's going on in your spiritual life right now? Tell me about your testimony. I've never heard how you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You direct some things. You guide some things into a spiritual conversation. Thou shalt talk about spiritual truths at some point. That is the key to this thing. If you're not going to do that, then all you did was just eat together. Thou shalt talk about spiritual truths at some point. Number eight, thou shalt be on the lookout for people you can encourage. Honey, do you see that couple that sits in the back all the time? Do you know who they are? No, you don't. I don't know who they are. They've been coming for quite a while now. Let's sit over there. We always sit. I know. But let's go over, sit over there, and let's maybe ask them. Let's find out who they are. I saw them working at the Kids Blast, but I don't know who they are. Let's find out about them, and let's see what's going on. Hey, did you hear about their family members got cancer? You know what? I just think right now they could use some help. Let's have them over. You know, they just lost a loved one. We just found out that this is happening in a family in the church. Well, that's not my clique. That's not in my connection group. Oh, come on. They're in your church. And we come alongside. Thou shalt be on the lookout for people you can encourage. Two more and we're done. Number nine, thou shalt not quit after a bad experience. Brother Scheller, did you ever have a bad experience? We had some really bad ones. But you know what? We decided we're not going to quit because we had a bad experience. Now, I want to tell you this. Every great experience I ever had in my life happened when I came out of my comfort zone. Every great experience I've ever had in my life came when I came out of my comfort zone. Now, some of you are thinking, every time you come out of your comfort zone, is it a great experience? No. But every great experience I ever had did happen when I came out of my comfort zone. Every time I came out of my comfort zone, I can't tell you it was a great experience. Hey, I'm not here to tell you that you may have a couple couples over and you say at the end after they leave, okay, so I counted and I truly believe they've been here for an hour and a half. I believe that they said 17 words. I mean, what's the deal? Boy, that was a bad idea. Boy, give me Shetler right now. That whole thing did not work at all. They didn't like the food and they went into other rooms. That was just like the worst experience in the world. We are done with hospitality. No, no. Thou shalt not quit after a bad experience. You know what, Lord? That didn't work real well. That was not what we thought. But we're going to still practice the Bible. And we are going to be given to hospitality. Number 10, and we're done. Thou shalt be a grateful guest no matter what. So maybe you're going to be on the other end of this thing. Maybe you're the one that's going to be asked to come on over. And if you are, you make it happen, number one. And number two, no matter what it is, no matter what happens, and no matter what you have to eat, you're appreciative that somebody else opened up their home. And you write a thank you card and you send them and you encourage them and say, hey, that was the greatest thing in the world. Thank you so much for allowing us to come over to your home. And I do encourage you, bring a little gift over when you come, you know, whatever. Do be a good guest too as well. The Ten Commandments to biblical hospitality. Now, we live in a day and age right now. And we're in a time in our country right now where people going over to other people's homes isn't real big. Okay, so I'm not forcing this, but I am telling you, we've got to start living our lives. And we've got to start trusting God in His Word. And I think that there are things that we can do. There may be health issues, and there may be some people that just absolutely cannot do it. I'm okay with that. God knows that. And that's between you and the Lord. But I also truly believe that there's going to be something about this kind of get together that when you have some people over, you got the right motives and you got the right heart and God's given you a place that you can have people over. Okay, so you don't have the nicest home in the church. Who cares? It's not about that. It's about, you know, I'm reading in my devotions right now in Acts, and I'm reading about Paul. And you know what I just love is after Paul gets saved, the guy, I can't think of his name right now, in Damascus that takes him in. And then when he comes back to Jerusalem, Barnabas says, hey, come on, Paul. I'm with you, son of consolation. Barnabas says, I'm going to receive him. Boy, I got to tell you, what that had to say to the rest of the believers, he had Paul into his house. The guy that was killing all the Christians, now Barnabas has him into his house. And I want to share, I just think that biblical hospitality is a way for the church to grow and to edify itself in no other way. That there's nothing else like coming over to people's homes and being able to talk about the things of God and having prayer meetings. And I will tell you, you don't know for sure what Christianity is going to look like in America in a decade. And we better start being willing to open up our homes, because who knows that that's maybe where we're going to be worshiping. So let's start practicing biblical hospitality.